What section of the Constitution has been breached?
Section? What section? There is no one section. It's just the vibe of the thing. It's all part of it. This is what I'm getting at. That's my point. It's the vibe of it. Again, it's just the vibe of it. In summing up, it's the Constitution, it's Mabo, it's justice, it's law, it's the vibe, and no, that's it, it's the vibe. I rest my case.
That was sensational.
G'day, listeners. You're back with Benny Banksy and Boydie, the basketball bloke, dribbling all things Aussie hoops and NBL fantasy. And I thought I was going to struggle to remember that because it's been a little while, gentlemen.
It has been a little while, but we have actually done another little project in between now. It just never got converted to a podcast as yet, so we'll talk about that in a second. But it's inspired by the boomers and the gold vibes only, and then the rose gold vibes only, that intro we just listened to, and the fact that we've been stuck in our homes. And we all know that a man's home is his castle. Fellas, we bring to the fantasy vibes only pod.
Ooh, like it.
And Banksy, I think vibes are probably about all we know about the fantasy players at the moment, so we can't really get into too much analysis, but it's just great to catch up and talk about something other than coronavirus. Yeah, and
before we do that, I guess it's probably, you know, we give a shout out to everyone out there in New South Wales and Victoria. As most of you will know, we are Victorians, so the three of us are, fair to say, probably a little bit over it at the moment. Missing our almost brothers. I mean, I call Banksy and Benny's kids my, you know, nieces and nephews and all that sort of stuff. So we're pretty close-knit, but we know everyone's sort of feeling it out there. So hang in there, try and do something positive every day, and, you know, try and make yourself smile a little bit more every day as well. So, but enough of that. Let's get on with it.
Yeah. And speaking of vibes, blokes, have we even done a podcast since the start date was announced?
No, we haven't.
No, we don't. Something to look forward to.
Speaking of vibes, that got me up and about.
Yeah, look, that of course is something we've got to look forward to. And
what, Banksy being up and about, or
yeah, vibes have been up and about.
It's up and about in my article about it. Did you see?
Yeah, no, I did. You've done
a few solid gifts.
Well, I guess we're all after a bit of a distraction, and I'm hoping that those articles have been a bit of a distraction for you, Banksy. Do you want to try and talk about what you've been doing in your downtime?
Well, yeah, obviously we've tried to. It hasn't necessarily been weekly, but tried to get an update as these signings have been going through. Benny, you've obviously been doing a great job of updating the rolling rosters with how they're structured and the pricing as each signing goes through. But just trying to keep tabs weekly on these articles we've been popping up from a fantasy perspective, obviously through the website there. And, just basically first looks at particularly these million-dollar imports that will have a huge bearing on how we structure our teams come closer to tip off in round one. But obviously we've got a date to look forward to now. So, you know, that's where our preseason starts, doesn't it?
Yeah, you're right. And I think, like, we're talking just some vibes today on the podcast, but if you want some more in-depth sort of reading on these imports in particular, Banksy's done a great job. And the other thing we did was actually a draft, snake draft style, NBL fantasy video, which you can find on YouTube, which I know Banksy has put in the list or in those articles at the bottom of each of those articles.
Yeah.
So far, to the 39 of you who've had a look at it, thank you very much.
Banksy, I can't believe you've looked at it 38 times.
Yeah, I know.
Your hair must have been good that day, huh?
It's nothing special to look at. We can definitely vouch for that, but it's something that was really fun, and doing a draft was a great way of just, I guess, generating discussion sort of naturally about all the different players we were drafting and talking about head-to-head decisions we had to make. We're going to be doing another draft next, and that will be released in podcast form, but we definitely want you to go to YouTube, because obviously you want to see our draft boards, who we're looking at when we're picking our players, and that would definitely improve the experience, yeah. I think.
I guess the interesting thing there is that we all had sort of different strategies and different sort of takes on things. You know, you guys out there see what we put out there, and most of the time we're a bit of a united front, but, you know, when it's early in the season, everyone sort of has their own sort of opinions, and between the three of us even. So it was interesting.
Well, with the draft format, you only get one player. So, you know,
it's one player, it's hard. Only gets one person. Yeah,
that's
yeah,
it. So it's hard to be united on that sense when we can all just talk about John Mooney and how good he is. You know, that generally helps things, right, Banksy? But so what we're going to do is we're going to flick through each team, and we're going to have it's not necessarily good vibes only. Vibes can be here, there, or anywhere, really. So we're going to start with the Adelaide 36ers, and Boydie, I might start with you, mate. How's the vibe, and what's the news with the Adelaide 36ers since we last talked?
I don't know what the vibe is, because I think everyone's a little bit – I think we're a little bit shocked with this. I know some people were probably shocked that Henry survived the season last year, mm-hmm. After his few of his, you know, escapades in timeouts, etc. But, you know, I mean, I made a comment in our Discord chat for our patrons, supporters, like literally the announcement came out at 8 a.m. or whatever it was on a whatever day it was, Tuesday. And on the Monday night or the Monday afternoon, Connor Henry was with Derek Rucker and
Soto. Or Mojave, was it?
No, he was with Mojave and Derek Rucker working out in Queensland after just being released from his hotel quarantine. I was like, oh, shit, that's probably not the best timing. So the poor bugger's just done 2 weeks of hotel quarantine, and then he's been shipped off.
So no news on a replacement yet, but they have obviously lost their coach, which probably just shows you how much power Jeff Van Groningen has on actually selecting the roster at Adelaide, given, you know, that all bar one player is selected and a new coach is going to have to come in and like what they've got. But Banksy, do you like what they've got so far? What's your vibe towards Adelaide 36ers roster or any players in particular at the moment?
I've got it in front of me, the rolling rosters. I don't think they've got great depth at this point. Obviously got some good pieces, particularly in the way of starters. Obviously we know Mitch McCarron, what he can do fantasy-wise. I think he'll work well in conjunction with Big Hump, obviously, with their pick and roll game there. It's pretty stock standard. I mean, they've signed Dusty Hannes, which is a pure shooter, basically. Todd Withers doesn't have great numbers, as I went through in the recent article once they signed him. And I mean, DJ isn't getting any younger either, is he?
I don't mind the roster. I think if they sign a decent name 4 or 5 guy import, and then I don't know who they'd pick as their
so they got one import available, don't they?
One import to go. So I don't mind this. I don't mind. I think they're a little bit, yeah, I think if they get one solid 4 and 5 import, I think the team's looking quite good. I don't mind Sunday Desh as a backup. And same with Mojave, I reckon. If you give Mojave minutes, we've seen what in a couple of games he had up in Cairns where he actually played decent minutes. I've actually got him a little bit of on the watch list as a little bit of a sneaky. I think 520K might be a sort of a roundabout price for him if you're struggling and you need to chuck a cheapie in there. I wouldn't be surprised if Mojave shows us a little bit more than he did last year up in Cairns.
And just on that, like, obviously what we're getting the price from is if you play fantasy, you can obviously go to Liam's great article today, and he's done the rolling up the roster update on mbl.com.au, and it's fantastic. Few good little nuggets there, some of which we'll talk about. But if you want to know the anticipated fantasy prices, that's where our rolling rosters are different. Mm-hmm. So make sure you check them out. I've got really positive feelings, vibes towards the 36ers roster at the moment, especially compared to last year. Coach will make a big difference. You expect, given that they're still paying Joey, now they'll be still paying, they're going to have a third coach to pay for this season. Wow. You're expecting a pretty big name. John Reilly's been rumoured, and that'd be really cool. I know he was a big feature in our Manscaped ads last year. It'd be great to have John Reilly back in the league. So
get a bit of John Reilly Woodley about it. All right, probably the that's enough Adelaide for now. I think with the next one off the rank, we're just going to go alphabetically, I guess. Is that what we decided? So let's go with one. And the vibes have been a bit, little bit testy over the last couple of days, to say the least.
Yeah, the Brisbane Bullets.
Let's go with the Bris Vegas.
So their roster's complete, but for having a next star. Okay, so one import, which was very recently done, so it'll be coming out on Banksy's next article, is Robert Franks. So a few things. So the roster is essentially done because, I mean, next stars, whilst they can come in, like all the high top prospects are really kind of locked away at this point in time. What it have, obviously, Robert Franks, good tweet by you, Bordy, on how they did it, how they got him, but just initial vibes, I guess, towards Franks and anyone else on the roster there, and how you think it's all looking.
Yeah, look, I think it's struggling a little bit, this roster, to be honest. Obviously, we'll talk about it a bit more when we talk about Perth, but Vic Law not being that import spot is a big loss. I know there was some selective what was Instagram comments in response to that announcement a couple of days ago from the Brisbane boys, but I think it was a little bit tongue in cheek. But it's going to be a bit of a weird thing. You've got Harrison that's been up there for the last few years. I'm sorry, Hodgson that's been up there for the last few years. He's gone.
Oh no, Maddie Hodgson, you're right.
You know, Deng Deng's gone up there. I know Deng Deng played under the coach when he was up an assistant up in Sydney, so. It's interesting that he's gone up there. Look, probably last year for Illawarra, didn't get the chances. And I think Deng Deng showed a bit when he was playing, when he was getting minutes at Illawarra. So you could see a little bit of improvement there. Fantasy-wise, not really liking it with the price that he's at. But who knows? It's a bit of a weird setup.
I think with Law gone and Matty Hodgson gone, they've just become really fantasy relevant, to be honest. I mean, you know, Harrison's going to get a lot of minutes, you would think, at centre at 950K. Patterson would, you know, if he comes in fit and firing, he could be one to look at again at 1.2 million with no Law there in the way. So, you know, you could see more from him. And we know Sobey's scoring could also step up with Law out of the picture as well.
The other thing that I think will be relevant for fantasy is that they might end up being a little bit like Phoenix have been in previous years, where they battle against teams that are bigger. Because I don't think, you know, apart from Harrison, you know, Salt, I don't think he's going to play massive minutes, and I'm not too sure he's quite ready to be.
He's going to have to at 250K, I think.
But he's going to battle against some of the other teams if they're reeling out their bigs. Like this team against Adelaide, for example, with the two big guys, you know, it's going to be interesting. They might be one of the teams where the other fours and fives just dominate against double wise, so it's something to look out for too, because they're definitely stacked in the wings and guard position at Brisbane, so they might struggle a little bit.
Great little vibe I reckon, as far as that, and it does make me want to send out a reminder that if you are a Patreon supporter, that was something we did. We, if you had a big player, we could tell you what opposition scores that Brisbane and all the other clubs were giving up, and Brisbane gave up massive amounts of fantasy points last year. Just on Robert Franks, so decent G League numbers a couple of years back. Looks like he's going to be, because he is that more of a, as Liam described, of a 4-5 than a 4-3 rebounding threat, which is good. But so we do have potential for fantasy. Now, I'm just going to put something out there. Maybe he won't be a fantasy captain option, but we've got Robert Franks. If he scores 100 points across a round, or what will we have? We'll have a Frankston. What do you think?
I like it.
Okay, can we keep that? So,
yeah, not bad. Don't worry.
Yeah, okay, cool. So I'm looking forward to our first Frankston. And
I thought we were going to have a bit of hot sauce myself.
With the Franks, yeah, that's right, straight out of Buffalo, you're right. So,
Franks,
yeah, no, I don't mind that. We'll have a bit of a play around, and there's a bit of, like, while we're doing the vibes.
You don't mind Robert Franks?
Both. Both are good. But I think that's what this podcast is going to be about. It's going to be about more nicknames, just some vibes. We'll see how we go as we go along. So, moving on to the next club. Banksy, what do you reckon?
Who we got? Cairns. The unknown.
That's the unknown. C comes after B, Banksy. Good work.
Yeah, yeah. Big. I think in the big picture, we don't know if Cam Oliver's going to return. That would be huge. But we're thinking we're vibing unlikely at the moment from what we know.
Yeah, vibing unlikely.
Yep.
See, this is the team that I'm – this is what I'm talking about. Like, look, like compared to the Brisbane lineup, look at this team in the 4 and 5 at present. I know Cam might not be there, but you've got Majok Deng, plays pretty big, but can – he's so mobile, shoots a three all over the place. You've got Keanu Pinder, you got Jawai, and you've got Oliver. Like, imagine those four guys against what Brisbane are looking to roll out at the moment. You're looking like, well, like, I think Cairns big guys are going to dominate in those games just quietly, but
– yeah.
Take Cam out of that equation, though, and it doesn't look so pretty, does it?
No, you're right. Take Space Cam out, and it's going to depend very much on what they go on there.
There's
a lot to like about, you know, McCormie maybe, though.
Yeah, McCormie maybe. Very proud dad pun moment there on your article there, Banksy, with Tahiri McColl, who actually played in a G League championship with Robert Frankston.
Banksy's a big fan of Carly Rae Joseph Jepson. That's how he got that.
So McCormie maybe. Yeah, not too bad. What did you garner from that? Your write-up on Tahiri McColl, Banksy?
So if we have a little look, I've just got the article in front of me. So his G League numbers from the past season. So it's not so much huge numbers, but more that he pads across all the stats. So he had 12 points, 7.5 rebounds a game, 3 assists. And what stands out is his defensive numbers. He averaged 1.8 steals a game in 2 of his 4 seasons in 28 to 29 minutes a game. So I guess in terms of, you know, being elite in the NBL, if those sort of numbers transition, we obviously know Justin Simon was the league leader in steals last season with 1.86 steals per game. So I think that's probably where Cairns went there with the signing, you know, trying to sign a similar player. If you think back to DJ Newball, just a two-way player that can hold up on the defensive end. And we know that steals are obviously gold when it comes to fantasy.
Happy to go early here. I think even Liam said Tahir was a bit more like Simon, but had shooting range. I think he's that almost spells lock to me for a fantasy. And obviously we'll wait and see how he fits in with the squad there. But at the present, I would think that he's either in the 2 or 3 spot in the deep ballers starting lineup.
On
schedule as well.
Although his three-point percentage in the G League doesn't fill me with confidence, 26%.
Okay.
Oh, it's better than mine, so I'm happy with that.
You happy to take that, yeah.
So how are we vibing with Kawhi Noi this season, fellas? In our fantasy teams, 2 years in a row for nothing. Is this?
I'm going to. I'm lucky. Cairns are kind of my second team. They have been for a long time. As long time listeners to this one. Look, I'm still going to root for him. I'd like him as a player. He seems like he's made of the right stuff. He's been injured and all that sort of stuff. So let's hope. Let's hope. Let's pray.
Yeah. So 940K. So just under import price. I think I'm going to be trying to find that 60 risky. Grand to get a million dollar import, aren't we? So
yeah, you'd probably be going to import first. But you know, like we've seen, like his first couple of weeks in the league a couple of years ago, now he had 55 and 60 odd or something like that. You know, he can put up big scores. And especially if Tahir isn't exactly as big a shooting and as a bigger offensive presence as DJ Newball was a couple of seasons back, there's going to be a fair bit of expectation on Noi to be a scorer. So,
and whether or not Cam's scoring is going to be there, I think that's a big thing, a big takeaway as well. I mean,
yep, good point.
You know, Cam's putting up 20 points a game. Scotty Machado's not going to do it all by himself.
Yep, like that. I don't mind that lineup. I've got pretty good vibes about Cairns, and you know, I might be a local by that stage, the way the Victorian lockdowns are going. So I could be a Cairns member by that stage. I don't mind a Bunnings snag, so don't mind going up there. I know they'll be in the new court then, but can always stop at Bunnings beforehand, can't we? Before the game?
Yeah, they're allowed to up there apparently. So don't need a trade card. All right, let's move right along.
Let's look at this. This is a legit lineup.
Elite.
What sort of vibes are we going with here? How How stiff are your nipples, Banksy?
If I was a Hawker, I'd
shout out to Julian O'Brien.
So Illawarra Hawks, roster complete. We don't know 100% about how Jessup is going to go, whether he will return or not, but we've got him slotted in here at the moment. But just how are we vibing? It's just, I mean,
we've got them sitting at number one with this roster right now, as it is.
Sydney, we'll talk about Sydney a bit later.
Two for me.
Yeah, two for me, okay. Too.
It's neck and neck. It's up there.
Yep.
I think this one's
awesome
really good.
For New South
a bit more scoring power.
Yeah,
big scoring power. I've just got a slight question about how Trice and Harvey work together. I know Harvey needs the ball in his hands a lot, but maybe that was because of the makeup of the squad last season that he needed to have that. Whether he works as well as an off.
Could you imagine him in space?
Oh my lordy!
he had to do it.
Work the other way.
Yeah,
he could average 30 a game.
So maybe not for fantasy point purposes, but for championship purposes with Gorge at the helm. I mean, what a bloody legend Gorge is. We don't have to vibe anymore about Illawarra, I think. I think we've got our points across. Sorry, can we move on to your club, Banksy?
Let's leave it a little bit of second there. I'm sneaky. There's a little sneaky double-double threat there that we didn't get to see him too much, and I feel like it might have been because Gorge was the coach of the Boomers. A little bit of, I reckon Gorge might be a
self-preservation for
what fantasy player, Gorge.
So go on. Carry on.
I reckon he might have the big man in his starting lineup come round one in fantasy, Gorge.
Drop.
Might be just leave him in there. There was a couple of times I saw a little nice little jump shot, pull up for a jump shot, you know?
Yep.
Not too bad.
I mean, I know we're supposed to only be giving vibes, but I think unless they don't play a game for the first two rounds, he's going to be in my team as well.
Yeah, exactly with me. Exactly with me too.
And we're just going to pretend my boy's not there.
Carry on.
Antonius.
Yeah. Antonius Cleveland.
Come on. Seems my fantasy team is cavalicious. He's going to be up there. Again, go back and if you haven't read the articles on basketballblokes.com, make sure you hit that one up. There's a lot of stats in there with him. We even have a little bit of a new fantasy calculator. So what I basically did was punch in each of the imports' average stats from their last season in the G League, etc. So if we pop Cleveland stats in from that last season, he averaged roughly 40 fantasy points per game, which, you know, he's going to be that SGSF sort of positional availability player. Then at that $1 million import price, surrounded by the players he's going to be with, he could be elite.
Do you think it actually hurt him then if Jessup's there?
Well, obviously, you would imagine he's going to be more fantasy friendly without Jessup there, but
yep.
I guess we're going to have to see what happens first.
There's something to note for the people listening at home. And as Benny went early, let's go to your team, Banksy. You're the expert in the with the Melbourne United lineup. What is going on here?
I don't know. It doesn't give me.
What's the vibe? Sorry, in the words of Benny.
Doesn't give me big vibes. Gives me moderate vibes.
And as a fellow grey-haired man of somewhat, do you reckon your grey hairs have got a bit of a vibe here with this lineup?
It's aging, isn't it? You know,
there's Barlow. Well, look, Barlow's 63 or something this year, isn't he? Can't remember what he turns. Nearly 45.
But look, in all reality, it gives me some fantasy vibes, though. I know that you probably sit on the fence in this one, but they didn't go out and sign a big man, not a big name in the way the big man field. And what that sort of stands out on our rolling rosters there is obviously JLA is likely to be the starting big man at United at 1.15 million. Mm-hmm. And we obviously know when he got the minutes last season, he was an absolute jet when we talk about fantasy points per minute, Benny.
Yeah, incredible fantasy player. I mean, it was the running joke that every time he got the ball from outside the three-point line, Homicide or Peter Hooley would go, "Oh, this is going up." You know, it did a lot of the time. And, even Huck Porty behind him as the backups, he's not going to be that 250K price because he's an X-star. But just another one of these guys that So ESPN released their top 100 for this year. So obviously it was great following Giddy and his progress up those rankings. Didn't work out for Mahabi King, but we've got like 6 or 7 players on that top 100 in the league at the moment.
Yep.
Huck Porty being one of them further down the list, but he's going to get tremendous opportunity. And given that roster, they kind of need him with Jack White's injury. They're going to need those guys to be playing some pretty significant minutes. We know the game favours the bigs. Just on Jack White, I know Liam mentioned, like, because there's a lot of talk, obviously, he's going to need an injury replacement. They're like, oh, well, let's get an import to be his injury replacement. But it seems like David Okwara is going to get upgraded to take that spot. So they're really rolling with one import. Now, this will be another import. I don't think you've done a write-up on Agardi yet, have you, Banks?
Yeah, he was in the latest one.
He was?
Yep,
okay. What can you tell us on?
Oh, he was the player. He played for Nigerian team in the Olympics, and he was the one that in the warm-up games that Australia, the Boomers, participated in over in Las Vegas. Agardi torched Team USA for 17 points, like an off three or four threes. You know, he just was hot, but then went cold in the games against the Boomers, and we played obviously
ridiculously cold, not just
yeah,
cold.
Ridiculously cold. Yeah,
there was a scoreless game.
He had one scoreless game for sure,
a 2-point game and a 6-point game.
Yeah, his minutes dropped off completely. Like I think in that game against Team USA, obviously because he was running hot, he scored. I think he played about 20 minutes or just under. And then the rest of the games, I think, were 12 minutes and under. So just keep an eye on him. I think he can get hot. He's got a big name, been playing in Europe, played summer league. So he's one to watch, but I don't think he's as big a sure thing as a couple of the other million-dollar imports.
I'm interested to see how his stats translate. Obviously, he played in Europe in the 2020 season. For an Israel team. But look, if you look at his stats, again, in the article, plugged his last season average stats into our fantasy calculator, he would average 53 fantasy points per game. And I think the standout for him, I mean, we're talking about McCall with his last season steals per game being on par with, a Justin Simon. This guy averaged 2.4 steals a game. Nice. So that is ridiculously elite. And if he can get those defensive stats, well, then, yeah, he's definitely going to be on our radars. But it's just a matter of how he fits in with this United squad and how those Europe numbers translate to the NBL as well.
All right. If Dally is 1.5, you guys touching him?
You've got Adams and you've got these other point guards at $1 million that will average the same, if not more.
What if he's $1 million?
When we move on to Sydney, I'll give you my answer.
Ooh, okay.
Well, yeah, I want to know definitely on Dally, but just with Agata, he actually led the Israeli league in scoring and steals.
Yes, yeah.
So both categories. So he led them both. So could be promising. With Dally, he came out today and said that almost made out that this is a pit stop in the NBL. I like the vibes of Dally drinking Coronas in the Hawaiian top. That's how I want to feel about Dally, but I don't feel that way.
No.
I think that he will be a good facilitator in this league, but I think he's much of a muchness with McCarron at this stage of his career. I think he'll probably put up similar numbers personally. So it's a pretty solid league, So I wouldn't be touching Dally at the moment.
Shot in the Olympics didn't fill us with much confidence either. And I mean, I'm a massive Dally fan, as you know. He played for my Cavs. My son's name's Dally. You know, you're not going to get a bigger Dally fan. But when we're being realistic with our fantasy teams, I think if he's going to be priced to 1.5, there's going to be better options.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of erring on the side of Dally here and thinking, he was the starting point guard for the Boomers from day dot. I'm not sure that was purely based on reputation. Let's wait and see, I guess. It's a bit of it's a different caliber of game playing Olympics and even the warm-up games to playing NBL. So let's see.
I'm not saying he's going to be absolutely fine. Yeah. I'm just saying if you're looking at, you know, stack, you know, panning out your fantasy roster and you've got him at 1.5 million, which is going to be 50% increase on the import price, there's going to be better options.
What if they start on a triple and every other team's on a double or a single?
JLA all the way.
All right, JLA. See, I'm a bit, as Benny Banksy pointed out, JLA, huge question marks for me. Like, I don't know if he's ready for that starting gig. You know, how easily sometimes he gets in foul trouble. I'm not sure he's got, I just don't like his attitude sometimes. I don't think he's, I don't know. I just don't like it.
I think they're going to have to like his attitude this
time. I'm a huge fan, to be honest. I couldn't sit any further.
This could be a Mooney moment. Oh, dear.
Yeah, it's going to be good. He'll be in my bold predictions at some point. We'll just leave it there.
Who finished on top for the season?
Pretty sure two seasons running now. His minutes per game have been elite for more than the one.
Points.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I'm still very nervous. I'd be a very nervous person having JLA as my starting center in fantasy come round one.
As nervous as a non-John Mooney owner, I'd say.
No, I'm pretty comfortable with that because I still beat your asses for the season without him. So we're good.
All right. Let's talk about nervous. And these players, the New Zealand Breakers, will be nervous. They're going to have another entire season on the road, which really sucks. They've got one local roster spot available after Corey Webster. Goodness me. Corey Williams liked one of his tweets, actually. But anyway, Corey Webster is playing overseas now, rumoured to the boards, but that did not eventuate. So just I'll talk about Webster for a bit. So I think that they probably had a lot to do. He mentioned he had some mental health problems last season, really struggled with the full season on the road. And I wonder how that – I think it actually really affected the whole team from a fantasy points perspective, and I wonder if that will be the case again this year. But it is something that could be an issue going forward, is these vaccine rules for players. So Corey tweeted about his feelings about vaccination, and shortly after that, there was an article on NBL.com about replacement players being available if unvaccinated players are unable to travel interstate. So if I was an essential worker and I got a permit, I'd have to have one, which I do anyway, but I'd have to have one jab of my vaccine to enter Queensland at the moment. It could very well be the case that states only allow fully vaccinated players to enter. So they suggested having a replacement player program as such. So I'd imagine that it would look something like, all right, you know, whoever's an NBL training type player would come out and, although not fully rostered on the 11-man squad, if Corey Webster was playing, he wanted to enter. Geez, he might not even be able to enter Australia. Who knows what the rules would have been crazy at that time. But let's say Queensland wouldn't let him in without jabs. He's obviously not vaccinated by his own account, so he would not be able to play. So maybe they have to let a training player play in that game. I've already let the powers to be in the fantasy world know that, look, if that did happen, we'd probably need an extra trade or something along those lines. So don't worry about that. Hopefully it doesn't come to that. But, yeah, interesting. Hopefully it doesn't. I'm not going to sit here and get into vaccination or coronavirus stuff.
No.
Leave that alone. But
Benny, you may need to add an extra page there. You might need a rolling vaccinated
page.
Roster, yeah.
So we know which players to avoid.
Boyd and I did a NFL fantasy draft this morning, and like, you are going to have players miss through COVID again. Like, it's Cam Newton had to spend 5 days on the sidelines away from the group because he was a close contact or he missed a test. So
yeah, and you have to look at the AFL season this season as well, and it's going to impact fantasy probably again. You know, like when players have been in exposure sites. I mean, there was a player today for Essendon in the final that missed. Nick Hine missed. Because he was, unfortunately, went and got a salad for lunch from Woolies in Altona North or whatever it was, Altona Gate Shopping Centre, and then it was an exposure site. Then he was there that day. He was there, and see you later, Robbie Slater.
He didn't miss much.
No,
he didn't. But he could have had an impact. You never know.
So bad. Just we'll get rid of those bad vibes because we're hoping it won't affect us too much. We'll be in a better place than last year.
Fantasy's meant to be fun, all right? If you get a bit of bad luck, so be it, all right? It's just the way it's going to be, all right?
You'll pick it up
the next week. Don't dwell on it. It's a free game. It's not like you're losing money. So just there's only one lucky person that gets to win it every year. Shout out to Denham Melrose for winning 2021 season.
Banksy, I think you got some pretty strong thoughts on the New Zealand Breakers roster, how you're vibing with it from a fantasy perspective, as far as their depth goes in particular positions. Do you want to start us off with that, mate?
Well, obviously, when you look at the roster, the standout is they're very guard-heavy, which is obviously off-putting from a fantasy perspective. Obviously, they've got – is it Payton's – is it Siver or Siva? How do you say it?
I'd go with the latter.
I'm going to go the Sieve anyway. Yeah. He was in the last article there, and you look back at his numbers. He's been playing in Europe as well, last 5 years at Albert Berlin there. And last season, you know, only averages of 10 points, 5 assists, 2 boards, doesn't fill you with huge confidence. But that aside, even if he had decent numbers, I mean, he's going to be in competition for minutes with the likes of Will McDowell-White. You've obviously got Ty Webster there, and you've got Hugo Besson as well, the second import who also happens to be a guard. So they're fairly stacked there. So you're not likely, unless, you know, the schedule dictates it, you're not likely to be starting with any of those players just because of the minutes they're going to be fighting for. Obviously, outside of that, you know, the big men aren't really priced where they're likely to be of value. They're priced at their peaks. Yanni Wetzel, $1.33 million. Finn Delaney, $1.43 million. And probably someone that you've been pretty big on is their next star, maybe one of appeal if we're sort of looking at who could be fantasy relevant, Benny, at the Breakers there.
Yeah, he's a tough player to slot in Usman Jiang, as far as trying to build out what, because he's so versatile, right? He's like 7 foot plus wingspan, but dribbles like a guard. I'm just going to put him on the wing there for now in our rolling rosters, right? But I saw a tweet today, Chad Ford, who has his own website, he's a scout for many, many years. He said that in a tweet today that we retweeted at basketball at @bball_blokes on Twitter, that he thinks that he could be a top five prospect next season. Wow. So currently ranked, I think it was 14th in the ESPN top 100. So this is, as far as the next stars go, this is our LaMelo, Giddy type standard player. As far as prospect goes, fantasy game yet to be determined, how much you'll have the ball in his hand with all these guards, Banksy. Genuinely a good concern. Thank God we don't have Webster, the other Webster in there, Corey, at the moment, just to confuse the issue even more. But
does he rebound? Can he play the four?
If he's that tall. I think Liam slotted him at the four in his article today.
Just looking at that lineup, if he can slot into that four, oof.
I think he's slotted to the three even. I mean, Tom Abercrombie, he's 34, 35 years of age about now, isn't he? So
he's a lock as six man as well. Mm. So that'd be the one at the moment, 850K. Always a really awkward price for these next stars, unless they are the two of that I mentioned earlier.
I haven't got too much to say on this roster, but I can't believe we're not going with Gary.
Gary. Ooh. Explain.
I can't believe we're not going for Gary.
Ah, God, okay. You must. Yeah, not too sure. That's gone way over my head.
Gary Payton? No?
You're really going to have to explain this to me.
Jeez, right, okay. No,
we'll move NBA on. Reference.
No, yeah, NBA reference, go. That's okay. We'll move along to the Perth Wildcats.
Yeah, what's going on? So, here? Big New news, coach? Banksy. Yeah, look, I think, yeah, obviously new coach, so good vibes there. Mm-hmm.
Good vibes, probably the best. Oh, no, I won't say that.
So best game can we start around this off? What are your vibes with Vic Law as compared to John Mooney last season? My vibes is this, it's an upgrade as a player in general for Perth.
Oof. Banksy might not want to do the pod with you anymore if you say stuff like that.
No, let's be honest. Look, Moon's obviously a solid locker guy. Vic Law, look, that was out of the blue for me. I don't know about you guys. There was no sort of rumours I'd read up, and then all of a sudden it was announced that he's signing with Perth. And we thought he was going to be staying in the US from all accounts with what I'd read there. But I mean, that's, if they can, they've got one import signing available up their sleeve. If they can sign a decent big man, I mean, that's well, looking pretty good.
Yeah. You know? Yep.
Mitch Norton, Bryce Cotton, Todd Blanchfield, Vic Law, and a decent big man, and you've got, you know, Luke Travers coming off the bench. I mean, that's going to be again competitive.
I think I even saw them say, you know, don't be surprised if you see a bit of Cotton at the one, Blanch or Travers, sort of 2-3, Vic Law sitting there, you know, kind of a little bit of a small ball lineup. I think it adds a bit of flexibility with their lineup. And as you say, if they get a legit 4-5. Import, which I think they will.
Yeah,
they've got enough money. Just backing them now.
If they do it. It strikes Madruk out of my team. Unfortunately,
I think you can almost pencil them in again for another playoff session. To be honest,
yeah.
Really like the, you know, I know Banksy always talks about the. I saw when he got signed. Banksy always talks about the look of the signings.
Yes,
and, you know, whether they're a baller. I'd like to be the person that we refer to for the look of the coaches, and I'm really liking the look of this coach, ScoMo. Let's call him the better ScoMo in Australia.
Already,
yeah. Did you read my article? Did you read what I wrote about ScoMo?
Yes, yes, of course.
He's ScoMo's received his fair share of abuse on Twitter as the wrongly identified ScoMo, unfortunately. So
I think he already knows
what it's like to be in the PM shoes.
That's right. He said sometimes he wakes up in the morning and he's getting all this hate on Twitter and he's like, I've been asleep for 10 hours, what's going on here? And then he looks it up and it's from ScoMo. So I thought that was quite a nice little swipe to start it off. But I think they've put a fairly solid person in there and they needed to follow in the footsteps of Fowle.
If you didn't know, he was a Boston Celtics assistant coach, wasn't he, for a good, you know, the past four seasons under Brad Stevens. So
it's really interesting.
It's a decent resume.
It's really interesting how the coaching, you know, works. Like, you know, you've got Gleason, who's just gone over there to be an assistant, and then you've got these guys that come over that are assistants and then they come over here, like Will Weaver – previously,
and he's back.
Will Weaver did. I mean, it's built his resume, hasn't it? I mean, what he did with that Sydney team.
Yeah, it's sort of like the old coach your own team kind of thing. So each coach will be in a different spot, but maybe that's the next thing that this guy needs to do. But with that, I mean,
coaches like Buford that have coached, this new Sydney coach has coached G League before. It's been his own team. So
true.
Kind of, how does that work? And then he comes over here and coaches. Yeah, I don't know. It's just a bit of a different.
I mean, it's great for the league.
It's almost like they want them to have a bit more of a different geography, you know, to get out of the system, to get out of that NBA G League system, which it might work for the players as well, you know. It might be a
network.
That's why we're getting a lot of G League guys, which is good.
Yeah. So Vic Law at $1.93 million on the estimate. No, so all the Hutchie hate from the Wildcats fans died off for a day, which was good to see. He was actually, big shout out to @NBL News. He actually identified the Instagram page, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. That Vic Law stopped following Brisbane, was following Perth, and he called that out a couple of days early, and then the news come through. So very, very good work there. @NBL_news on Twitter.
That's right. I'll just make sure you got the right. Yep.
Thank you. Lockie Reed has also linked them to Jonah Antonio, who's a college shooting guard returning. Returning from college. So yeah. local guy. So that would leave that big import slot left. Liam mentioned that they were in the Thon maker market, who went and signed in Israel. So that shows you where they're shopping, right? It's going to be a bloody good player.
So it should be as well. It needs to be a big man. I think all those starters, again, they're priced at what they averaged last season. So there's not a lot of value there. I think the disappointment for mine was with Vic Law being signed, it's probably going to take away from the value of Travers a little bit. I think it's more than a tiny bit, but we'll see.
Maybe, who knows?
Fingers crossed.
Remember, Travers, they're talking about as someone who can play multiple positions, so he doesn't necessarily have to start in that 4 spot to be getting 20, 25, etc. But you know, there's a risk there. There's a new coach, all sorts of things, you know. Like the lineup's looking pretty blank at the moment behind Bryce. So does Bryce play a little bit of one, like I was saying before? And then you've got,
that's,
you know,
there's, true. That's true.
Yeah, there's all sorts of different things that can happen. I'll be waiting and see.
Let's be
how
honest.
Is, how have we read anything on Cotton's health?
Nothing. It was what there was that Jaron Geary type quad deal. Yeah, so plenty of time, season delayed. I don't think
don't there's you dare any mention his name.
Saints fan here. So was there something else I wanted to mention about Perth? So with Travers, I mean, in fantasy, they listed him as a shooting guard last season. So maybe we'll get that updated depending on what he's actually going to play this season. So probably be better for us if he's a shooting guard, let's be honest. So maybe we won't get him to change that.
All right.
So the next, speaking of at NBL news, the next thing we found out, a little bit of a rumor that we're going to go with, seeing the success of last time. Mm-hmm. So they found a particular player, Xavier Munford, who is a bit of a combo guard, would probably line up in the point slot for Southeast Melbourne. He's just been he's looked at who he's following, and that includes Creek, Dane Pinot, Adnam, a couple of other Aussies, so and a manager. So that's always a brilliant sign, as we've found out, apart from Justin Simon's dad saying that he's going to play with Cotton, but that didn't come to fruition. So that's one. I'd be had a first glance at Xavier Munford. If he does sign, that is very exciting for Phoenix fans like us, Boydie, and mm-hmm. for fantasy coaches if it does come to fruition. But the last thing I've got is that Hanky McSpanky's is a bit cranky. So that's a big bit of news out of Liam's article today. Give me some Ty Wesley import injury kind of vibes. It's not a good feeling, Boyd.
Mm-hmm.
So the vibes I was getting from Zach was Josh Boone. Mm-hmm. That was like the highlights, and I'm like, oh god, this guy's gonna be such a good fantasy player. But
yep.
If the knee's no good,
I thought that straight away too. Yep.
But most important,
what's happened? Is he injured?
Yeah, knee.
Yeah, possibly. Has a sore knee. That is a problem, is what Liam. That's a direct quote from Liam's article.
Yeah. So that is a
MV Panay.
Well, this is it. So that was the other little bit of good news from Liam's article, is that our pick one in our first draft. MVP now, and God, what have I got him at? About 320K. Yeah, so that's looking very good. Perhaps you'll just go back into that starting role if Haskins misses the start of the season. So Hankins, not Haskins.
Still talking the NFL, mate.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, don't want to talk too much about Dwayne Haskins, that's for sure.
How are you two feeling as Phoenix members? Obviously, they've got two
imports
available. And yeah, again, they've just been quiet, just sitting back and, you know.
Still vibing for rowdy yeah, from, but it's about
We're one game off a NBL finals appearance in our second year as a team. I'm quietly confident. I believe in Tommy.
Yeah.
And what's it go with Sykes?
He's apparently Munford's going to play. So he's, you know, he's got, what is that, Exhibit 10 contract with the Pacers.
Who knows? But I think out of that, I wouldn't be surprised if I think the Pacers just signed someone else on a two-way. I'm not sure how many two-ways they're allowed to have at the Pacers, but or at any of the NBA teams, sorry. So I wouldn't be surprised if he plays for Fort Worth. Mad Ants,
yeah,
Sykes for the year and try and have a crack there, because I think he's kind of next one off the rank if they need a slot of point guard in there.
And while I'm thinking about that, I just watched Liam's interview with Jock Landale, and which was awesome. And he talked about, like you mentioned, that Phoenix got pretty close last year, and he talked about how they were 20 odd points down in a decider against the Phoenix, and went through that whole process. Definitely have a look at it for yourself. But Landale actually went through just talking about the league in general. And he mentioned the Civ as a quality player. He's like really good Euro player coming to the league this year. That was one of the Peyton Seaver. He was shocked almost. It seemed really impressed that was the caliber of player we're getting to the league. So positive
huge name. I mean, he won a college national championship at Louisville, but then it got taken away from him that year. That was the year that they lost out. So
went through the sieve.
Yeah. No, so yeah, went through the sieve. So yeah, I think I don't know in that lineup. I think he's a legit player, but I'm not sure how he works with Ty there still and all sorts of stuff. So
John on the watches for sure. Colton Iverson as well said that Colton Iverson was a legit big
He actually had some legit games in the NBL for fantasy wise. Really, he was probably a little bit slow, but apart from that,
he did. Do I go? Speaking of legit, Boyd.
Oh, the next speaking club. Of legit. Stop it.
Stacked.
Sydney Kings. So we've got
who's? I want to know who's responsible for the checkbook at the Kings, because they've been signing their life away, haven't they?
They have. It's we mentioned gold vibes only. It's sort of purple and gold vibes only at the moment with that roster.
It's a shame this roster may not actually have a home game for the whole season. But
no, I'm thinking positively about all that right. Personally.
Sorry, but I'm still a bit negative, but sorry, guys.
No, that's all right, mate. Banksy, you said something about not picking Dally. I'm assuming this is why.
Here we go.
The particular point guard in this slot.
Coming off the long run.
Yeah, so obviously we'll go through the other players, but opposite to probably New Zealand is that Sydney are more stacked in the big man department. Mm-hmm. But a couple of obviously quality guard signings. They signed Jalen Adams in the past week or two. Prior to that, obviously, we've gone through that they signed RJ Hunter, which has some really good NBA experience there. Really big on Jalen Adams. He's played the past 2 years in the G League. The second of those seasons was under the Kings' newly appointed coach Buford there as well. Played for the Herd, Milwaukee's affiliate in the G League there. His first season in the G League, 14 points, 6 assists, 5 boards. That second season under Buford, he was a standout. He made the G League what's it called? The team they have? The
all G League. Yep.
All that's the one. I'm trying to come up with words. All NBA G first League team. First team. But what was obviously really good for him was he was runner up NBA G League MVP for the season under Buford. And his numbers, I mean, it's a pretty significant increase on his second season. 21 points, 5.5 assists, 5 boards. So he stepped it up to almost 7 points a game more in that second season under Buford. Love that obviously has that connection already with Buford as well. And, you know, what I do like, and again, we've got to obviously see how this translates in the preseason, but the games that he did play under Buford, it was a high-paced game. They scored 121 points per game as a team in the G League. And had a league best 33 wins and 10 losses. So I think that's pretty important. But, yeah, I think he's going to be a standout guard on most of our teams, provided Sydney have a good schedule in the beginning. But we know that, obviously, DJ3J is going to be injured for a large portion of the season early on. So I think they're going to be a little bit thin at the guard position. They've got RJ Hunter, Adams. Obviously, Sean Bruce will probably get some of those backup minutes at both positions. But as we know, they're stacked in the big man department, aren't they? Cooks, J-Mart. And I guess something we've got to talk about is not just Hunter, but they've got two men with similar names, Benny.
Yes, they do. They've got
Two
Hunters, Two Makers. That might be in the new intro song.
Oh, no, not the curse. Okay.
Yeah, so I'm going to do it to them, so look out. No, so of course, awesome signings. Firstly, the next star in Makur Maker, and cousin of Makur is Matur Maker. Now,
he's a bit more mature.
He is a bit more mature. Now, we put this out on how we're going to remember this and how many times are we going to. I don't know about setting the over under line, but like we need nicknames, right, to be able to survive. That's how we get around a lot of the time. But how are you going to remember? Matur, and which player he is. Obviously, we should know this as basketball fans, but we're not across everything, let's be honest. So the way I'm going to remember it, Banksy's name's Matt, right? Matt is very old. So I know that Matt Maker is the older one.
He's the older one, yeah. I get that.
Okay, so like that's what I'm going with. So we got Matt Maker and Big Mac Maker as well, but in McCaw, but... yeah, just so stacked. Like, what was the club that you were talking about, Brisbane, before, right? And probably the next club we'll talk about. Mm-hmm. How are they going to go with that lineup? Oh. With Cooks playing the three, potentially one of the best rebounders going around. It's ridiculous.
And we've heard the preference is to play Cooks at the four, but I just can't see how they can. I mean, how are they going to get those minutes around?
Like, and
they can't.
And that's why I made it.
Unless Cooks plays at the three, I just can't see how it works.
Apparently, I'm way off, but like I get the feeling that Jordan Hunter wouldn't be too happy about what's going on there. I think he's seeing his minutes getting diminished with every signing at present. And I've said in our Discord chat that I really think maybe he puts his hand up if he gets another opportunity somewhere else to be that starter and get 30 minutes plus. Does he go, you know? Apparently I'm very ill-informed,
yeah,
I'm told. He's very much loved, and I don't doubt that, at Sydney, but I just feel like it's kind of like, you know, it's almost like the Corey Webster thing in New Zealand. I think Corey's kind of seen the writing on the wall, like, oh, hang on, they've signed, you know, it seems like we've got all ones, twos and threes. So I'm, and you know, he spent a fair bit of time on the Pine coming off the bench and that sort of stuff last season. So he's like, all right, well, I think I might be better off going elsewhere.
So we need to organise a trade, is what you're saying. trade some bigs from Sydney to...
Well, there won't be trades, cards. There's some cash to be spent over in Perth, you know, could they... Yeah.
I honestly think maybe one player in Adams is likely to play over 30 minutes a game.
Yeah.
The rest, it could be all under. Split.
Yep. And that's the risk with Sydney for fantasy. I was going to say the same thing, Benny. That's how I was going to finish off. I think Adams is legit. And I think even if they start on a single, you'd almost have him sitting there as your bench point guard, I think, for the first round.
And if the schedule is friendly early, I think RJ Hannah will definitely be on our radars as well.
Yeah, I think so too. If their schedule's good,
especially why DJ3J is out.
Even with a bad schedule, Adams will probably be on my team the way it's looking.
Yeah. Now compare that team.
Compare the pair.
With the Tasmania Jack Jumpers. How do you think?
Hey, let's remember we're trying to be a little bit positive here, guys.
Well, it's the vibes pod. It's not vibes. Not the positivity pod like we had to do last year. This is the vibes pod, and all good vibes. I spent a bit of time, 3 weeks in Tasmania recently. I saw two Jack Jumpers jerseys, one with a kid was wearing one in Hobart.
Nice.
And the other one in Lonnie, shooting hoops at the parking Lonnie. So good to see. Good vibes in that regard. Drove past the entertainment centre, lots of... works going on there to get it up to scratch, which I understand is going to be a bit late potentially, but going to be a good little base for them. But from a NBL 22 success vibes, I'm not thinking it's going to be too good, but I think it's the complete opposite for NBL fantasy vibes. What are you guys thinking?
You just said yes.
Well, there should definitely be value there. Again, they're the total opposite to that Sydney King roster in that they're anywhere near as deep in the big man department. Obviously got big Will Magne there. We would suggest he's going to be starting at 790K from his average last season, but there's not much thereafter. Touchwood, he remains healthy, but they'd be in a little bit of strife, I feel, as we touched on off the pod, Boyd, if he was not to be available. They don't have much thereafter, so you'd imagine... We saw him... his games in the Perth roster that he can get in foul trouble. But if he can remain out of foul trouble, he's definitely going to be one of the number one picks, you would suggest, fantasy-wise, just because of the lack of depth, the opportunity he's going to have to play some high minutes and put up big scores at 790K. What are you thinking?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a tough one here. I'm not so negative on them. I think... Look, it's their first year in the comp. The chances are they're not going to make finals. But I don't mind what's going on. I think they've kind of almost built this as a bit of a... they're going to see what's happening on the fly almost. you know, they can switch. People seem to forget that Sam McDaniel started for the championship team this year. You know, we've got him slotting in as the backup shooting guard at present. You know, he could start. You know, there's a little bit of flexibility in this team. And so we're going to have to wait and see. And, I mean, their next star could be anything. What was he ranked in the ESPN draft stuff, Benny?
You're all over that. 80s or 90s. So it was okay. Yeah, a bit way right. down.
But it was a little bit lower than that.
So what's his name?
Oh, bloody hell. You always get me to read these ones out. I'm just going to call him Nikita. But I think
come on. Give it a crack.
Oh, it's Mikhail Halshovsky. Mikhail Ovsky, I'd say.
Very good.
Be, something like that.
Nick
there you go.
And I think, there you go. Interestingly enough, in Liam's article, he actually had the starting lineup as Majette, Adams, McDaniel, McIntosh, and Maganay. So,
McVay off the bench.
A little bit different there. McVay off the bench. So there's a little bit of differences. And then he even said, where do you go? Russian kid can play. He might not start opening night, but he will get there eventually. He will be there eventually. So, Look, I don't know. There's something about it. I don't know. I've just got a little bit of feeling in my gut. I don't think they're going to be great, but I think they're going to surprise us a little bit. Everyone's writing them off already. And I think hopefully Magne drops a couple of kegs again. I think they tried to beef him up a bit too much over in the NBA. And I think we want to see his more athletic sort of stuff that we saw at Brisbane, running the court well. And I think, you know, he could be the bargain of the year almost, that we're saying 790K based off his NBL 21 average of 20 in fantasy. So, you know, cheap. I would have thought he's in my starting lineup as well. He's in the starting roster for my fantasy team from day dot.
Another pronunciation, Boyd. McIntosh's first name. What are we going with? Haven't checked it.
Your Kyle.
No, he's not my Kyle. Be Mikhail.
Mikhail?
So your Kyle.
Look, I've just been down to Tasmania, otherwise known as the Apple Isle. Went to a nice little cider place, currently a sponsor of the Jumping Jacks. What do we think about Apple Mac?
I don't mind. Ooh, no, double M, triple M, double M.
M&M, Slim Shady.
M-K-M.
I reckon I'm quite a fan of Apple Mac. We'll see if it catches on for Mikhail McIntosh.
Yeah, don't mind it.
I think I enjoyed the cider too much. Maybe that was it. The apple cider got me.
So what do we think about him anyway? So obviously was on the NBL Twitter, Coach Scott Roth compares him to a Jay Sean Tate, which is a nice comparison. Mm-hmm. Numbers don't fill me with any huge confidence, though. Played the 2018-19 season in the G League, averaged 11 points, 5 boards over 25 games, so nothing huge there. But Coach has big raps on him if he's comparing him with Jay Sean Tate.
I mean, they're solid figures in the G League. They're not, you know, shooting the lights out, but
it's a high-scoring league.
Not too bad.
28% from three doesn't.
No, he's a 4'5" guy. He's 6'7". He's a 4'5" like Franks. So we'll wait and see. There'll be a bit of run and gun stuff there. It'll be a bit different. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Don't mind the Jack Jumpers for all the Tasmanian supporters out there.
A bit more confidence in the guards though. We've got obviously Josh Majette, who had amazing numbers obviously in the G League. Mm-hmm. I think it was around 20. I don't have it in front of me. Around 21 points, 10 assists. He averaged over the season last season. So a rarity in our league, but that would be a double-double threat as a guard. So I think he'll be one that'll be in most teams. And
yeah, for sure.
Josh Adams will be very exciting, if not fantasy relevant.
Yeah, he's exciting to watch. He'd be good to watch. The thing with Majette is you got to remember he was in that Team USA select squad. So basically how that team operates is they keep a roster of guys that basically play against the NBA guys that are trying out for the Team USA whenever there's a big comp. And they're the guys that pretty much play all the lead-up games, all the qualifying games, etc. So he's obviously of a fairly decent standard if he's on that roster and has been for the last couple of years. he's just on the cusp of being one of those NBA guys, really. You know, that it's going to be, you know, he might be a 12th or 13th or 11th man, but I think his talent is legit as well, Majet. So I think I'm looking forward to seeing him in the league as well.
Now, we know Banks, he does his bowler look when he – can you take yourself back? Because I know I was a bit shocked because you see that surname and I just thinking this is going to be
Maggette.
Like Corey Maggette.
Corey, yeah.
Some sort of relative or, you know, nephew of Corey Maggette or son or something like that.
Do yourself a favor and Google him.
Who? Josh?
He doesn't have much Corey about him, does he?
No, he doesn't.
You know what I thought?
But who does he look like? Who does he look like?
You know what I immediately thought when I saw him? Josh Maggett, well, Gillette, the best a man can get, you know, nice clean shaven, you know.
Very good.
Oh, no, these look like? I put a lookalike up, someone tweeted. Is it I've forgotten his name now. It's in the article. I'll tell you in a second when I get it up.
Yeah, okay.
Did you see it? He looks exactly like one of the NBA coach's sons. Like,
cool. Oh, yeah, he looks like Bud's. Bud's son.
That's it.
Bud's son, Mike Budlodzki.
Budenholzer. You have to pronounce it?
I don't know. The Milwaukee coach.
Budenholzer?
Yeah.
That's it.
So, all right. Can you wrap us up and then talk about the Civ after off the pod, okay? So we can get a bit of an NBA history. Okay, Boyd?
Who? What? What am I doing?
The Civ Payton. What you talking about?
Gary Payton?
Yeah. So wrap us up. I know who Gary Payton is. I've just never heard the Civ, so you need to explain it to us.
No,
so.
I didn't call him the Civ. No, that's what Banksy called him because his last name's Siva.
I'm so confused. Can you please wrap us up?
Gary Payton's nickname was the glove. Gary Payton was the glove.
So why did you talk about Gary Payton? Can you wrap us up?
Because his first name's Payton, mate. I was going to call him Gary.
I'm there.
Too much to drink or something. I'm not sure what's
happening. I'm there. You better wrap us up on that fine note.
You guys have been
thinking of that for the last half of the pod.
Gary Payton Seaver. Thank you. I'm there.
Come on. Oh,
but Mike, why is Payton known as the Civ, man? What's going on? He's the glove.
It's a stretch.
Explain that.
Big stretch.
We need to get back in the swing of things. You can tell we haven't done a pod for a little while, eh?
Okay. Do you remember how to wrap us up?
We need to get in one room. That's where we get some of our best stuff going.
Okay.
Some of the quality stuff.
Cool.
Worldwide trending, all that sort of stuff. At @bball_blokes for Twitter, just basketball blokes for Facebook, and what's our YouTube?
Basketball blokes, yeah,
basketball blokes, popping that up. And the number one source of NBL fantasy news, updates, previews, rolling resources, fantasy calculator, other stuff. Get on board, basketballblokes.com.
Wrap it up, Gary.
Do yourself a favor. We'll